as he stood down over a drink problem. But leadership candidate Chris Huhne isn't very sympathetic.
I think that if you're in public life and you're an MP and you take a high-profile role, then I'm afraid you're going to be subject to scrutiny, and I certainly don't approve, for example, of the sort of protection that French politicians have under the privacy laws.
And Mr. Oaten's constituents in Winchester, who we spoke to, say the news came as a bit of a shock to them.
I think he's probably lost the confidence of his people.
Well, I was a little bit surprised by it. He's always been a good representative of the Winchester area.
He's been a very good member for Winchester.
He's so talented. He's such a good member of Parliament.
6 months on from his shooting, a public vigil is being held for Jean-Charles de Menezes. His family, friends and supporters have gathered at Stockwell Tube Station, where the 27-year-old was shot by police. They thought he was a suicide bomber. An autopsy is being carried out now on the whale that was stranded in the Thames for 2 days. Vets are hoping to find out why the 15-foot mammal died. It was being taken to deeper water on a barge when the end came. Whale campaigner Leah Garces says the stress may have been too much.
We know the whale beached itself twice. It could be that it was sick in the first place, but it also could be because of sonar testing that that has been going on. It could be because of pollution, but we really won't know until we get that autopsy test back.
France says it's investigating a possible case of bird flu. Doctors there say a woman who's recently returned from holiday in Turkey is being tested for the deadly H5N1 strain of avian flu. The 32-year-old is in hospital in Montpellier in southern France. And TV actress Amanda Holden has given birth to her first child. The Cutting It star and her music producer fiancé Chris Hughes are said to be overwhelmed and completely thrilled following their daughter Lexi's arrival last night at a London hospital by caesarean section. London's weather today should stay dry with some bright spells later. High of 7 degrees Celsius. Right now it's at 5 degrees Celsius in Waterloo. Overnight mostly dry and cloudy. Not quite as cold as last night though, with lows of 2 degrees Celsius. LBC News. With Well Woman Advanced Nutrition Capsules from Vitabiotics, they're available from chemists and health stores, or visit wellwoman.com. It's coming up to 2:03.
London's LBC 97.3.
Real life, real London.
When you buy new furniture, buy from a name you trust. Peter Adams of Station Road Edgware, one of London's most respected names. We thrive on terrific service, offer free UK delivery, over 7,000 fabrics and a vast range of furniture. We'll remove the old and put the new just where you want it. And with up to 75% off selected Parker Knoll stock and fantastic deals on Cintiq, celebrity recliners and more, Peter Adams is the name you can trust at Station Road Edgware, or call 8958 3155. Peter Adams, passionate about furniture.
London's LBC 97.3. Steve Allen.
Great to have your company. Our special guest this week on That Reminds Me really doesn't need any introduction by name. You only need to hear just one or two bars of music. Introduces our special guest this week. That record made him a household name. He's also heavily associated with LBC. There's also a tour of War of the Worlds. There's also a glittering career in showbiz, more of which later. Jeff Wayne, you're most welcome. It's nice to see you.
Thanks, Steve. Great to be here.
Now, you don't need to do anything apart from say War of the Worlds, and people go, Jeff Wayne, Jeff Wayne. And that's it. And you only need to play those first bars. You don't need to play anything else.
Yeah, I think, I mean, it's true that it's a recognizable piece of music.
Yeah.
28, 29 years ago when I composed and produced the album as the young man of three, I think is what
I
did that one. I didn't know that it would sort of resonate almost 30 years later and still be identifiable as that composition.
Nine platinum albums.
In the UK, actually, it's past 10 now.
Past 10?
Yeah, and worldwide sales are approaching 14 million double albums.
I didn't realize until I went onto the website last night just how mad for you your fans are, and how mad for this music, and how mad for the concert version, and how mad for the tickets, and how mad for the memorabilia. There was even on eBay a short while ago acetate recordings of War of the Worlds that came up for auction. I'm amazed at how much stuff has been generated by this, considering how old it is.
Yeah, it's had a long life, and it's been reincarnated in many different ways. The club world, there's been over 300 club remixes in all these years, and you can almost identify the year that they were remixed and by the groove, basically, because the grooves have changed so substantially, and the tempos through the years have changed, so you can almost identify the year by the style of the remix.
Well, it's a long way before that when you worked with David Essex, with Chris Spedding. In fact, your first foray into the West End was what, 60s?
1968-69, when I composed the score for a West End musical based on Charles Dickens' A Tale of Two Cities. It was called Two Cities.
Successful?
It had I guess you'd call it a medium success. But it did win for our leading man, Edward Woodward, the best performance in a musical, male performance in a musical for that year. It was the Evening Standard Awards at the time, although now I believe it's called the Olivier Awards.
Yes, absolutely. I wonder what ever happened to Edward Woodward. Where did he end up, I have to ask myself. Now, in between that, I'd forgotten that your father, of course, was in theatre, so that's where the interest in the musical side must have come.
Yes, I mean, my dad was a very well-known entertainer, pop star in his own way. I did vaudeville and big band singing and then Broadway musicals, quite a range of things. So I grew up in a household that was always filled with entertainers, directors, writers, and it was a very natural environment for me when I finally turned professional.
So did you always think that would be the business that you would go into?
Originally. In truth, my college degree is in journalism, investigative journalism.
Oh, wow.
And although I started playing piano at the age of 5, my actual dream at that period in college was to become a journalist. My main sport has been tennis and to play in bands and songwrite as a hobby. And of course, by the time I got my degree in journalism, I realized it was the other way around. I really loved music enough to try to pursue it professionally. And I started again in college and never got the degree in music because I moved back to England to compose the score for Two Cities.
All right, well, let's come on to your first musical choice for That Reminds Me, and it's Nat King Cole. I don't think anybody can fail to have been moved by Nat's voice. Was it the voice that took you to this song?
It was his voice, yes. He's always been one of my favorite vocalists, but he also had this uncanny way of sliding through melodies as if they were like butter. It was a unique quality, and I loved listening to him as I was growing up. My parents had some original recordings of his breakthrough band called the King Cole Trio. And he was actually a very good jazz pianist as well. So for me, I was introduced to him as a very young boy. And there's actually quite a number of recordings that you could choose of Nat King Cole's, such as Unforgettable, Mona Lisa, Route 66.
I've just bought a Christmas album with him on.
Yeah,
well, he does it so effortlessly.
Indeed.
All the songs,
yeah,
he just breezes through them.
Indeed.
And was it a short while ago that he actually sang with Natalie Cole? They managed to sort of get old recordings, and she sang with her dad.
Indeed, that's a wonderful marriage of their two voices.
Great voice, great crossover artist. So here's Nat King Cole, the first choice for this week's That Reminds Me is Jeff Wayne, and it's Nature Boy.
Boy, a very strange enchanted boy. They say he wandered very far over land and sea. A little shy and sad of eye, but very wise was he. And then one day, a magic day, he passed my way. And while we spoke of many things, fools and kings, this he said to me: the greatest thing you'll ever learn is just to love and be loved in return.
ever learned is just to love and be loved.
There you go. Voice of Nat King Cole, unmistakably Nature Boy. The first musical choice this week of our special guest, Jeff Wayne. War of the Worlds, I suppose, made you the household name, but in musical terms, having had your toe dipped in the West End, it was David Essex and your collaboration with him that took you to an even bigger audience. You just clicked, you two.
Yes, indeed. I met David when he was in the West End musical Godspell, and we became mates, and he started singing on some sessions for me just because he wanted to, and we developed a professional relationship where I started to produce and arrange his records, and we enjoyed a good long run of hits, and I toured with David as his MD and arranger, and so we had a lot of good fun, and we're still in touch this day.
Well, in fact, there was a rumor a short while ago he was going into EastEnders, and then because of, I think, musical contracts, he couldn't go in. They wanted him to stay a bit longer. He said, no, I've got, another tour coming up and an album. You did three albums with him.
It was five albums.
Five.
But it was the first three that really topped the charts, and all the big hit singles came from those first three.
Right. So did you Rock On?
Yep, that's right. Rock On, Lamplight, Hold Me Close, Gonna Make You a Star. I think it was about 10, 11 that really did well.
And what was it about the gelling together of you two? What was it that sort of brought two people together like that, and it just worked?
I think we clicked as mates and complemented each other's tastes. He allowed me as a producer to experiment in ways that I always enjoyed, which is to try to find a sound to a record. Rock On was our debut single as a unit of people, he being the artist, me producing and arranging, and it doesn't have any instruments that play chords on it. Most of the people at the time that I was telling this concept to thought I was totally bonkers, and how could you not have a piano or guitars or things like that? And my answer was because I wanted the hollows, the atmospheres of the 50s and the Jimmy Dean sort of qualities. And David said, that's brilliant, go for it.
And it worked. Also, he had a love of circus and funfair.
Indeed. Yeah.
And you sort of married up together. But also in Godspell at the time were some other people that you used, Julie Covington, Marty Webb.
That's right. And the way
you
that...
You just took from West End shows, didn't you?
Well, they were all in Godspell with David, as was Jeremy Irons, by the way.
Yes, I've forgotten about Jeremy's David.
And at the time that I really started to get to know David and Julie and Marty and Jeremy and all that, there was a band called the Godspell Band that, because of the hit of the musical, there was a request to play some of the main clubs of London, like the Marquee Club, Scots of St. James, and a few others of that ilk. And I was asked to really just come in and be the musical director, play keyboards. David sang lead, Julie and Marty sang backing vocals, and off we went and did a small little tour of the London clubs.
Halcyon days, ladies and gentlemen. For those people over a certain age, you'll remember the London clubs. I mean, it was just a different scene then, wasn't it?
It was quite different, yeah. A different feel altogether.
Better time?
Different. I think the clubs today are better laid out in terms of getting people in and not squashing them entirely. Marquee Club, I remember, is being very smoky.
Yes.
And I don't smoke, and so it was a lot of coughing.
Did you never smoke?
No. Oh, not really.
Goody two-shoes. No. Yeah. All right, listen, I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll take a very quick break. We'll have more from Jeff Wayne, more on War of the Worlds, more on the artists that he worked with and his association with LBC, plus more on what is there for the future, because the last piece of music we're going to play today goes back to 1953, and there's another link to him, which we've already alluded to. So more from Jeff and more musical memories coming up in the next part of That Reminds Me. That's after the latest travel.
This is Karen Mercer in the LBC 97.3 Travel Centre. First of all, to Westbourne Park. The Great Western Road is now open in both directions between Woodfield Road and Harrow Road. That's following a fire at a bus depot. The A4 looking very heavy heading into town from the Hammersmith flyover towards Gloucester Road. And you've got resurfacing works on Clerkenwell Road around Turnmill Street in the city, and that's causing tailbacks in both directions. In Epsom, Old London Road still closed in both directions for investigation. investigation works after yesterday's incident. Please call me on the jam line if you're stuck in a problem on 08000 68 60 80. Any updates, please call them in on that number, 08000 68 60 80. Now, if you're heading out onto public transport on the tubes, you've got delays on the district line and clockwise on the circle line. Engineering works are affecting the Piccadilly District and Northern Line services. And on the trains, you've got delays northbound on southern trains from Harrow and Wiltston to Watford Junction. LBC 97.3 Travel, your next update in 30 minutes.
Couldn't get tickets to an audience with Nick Ferrari? You missed a great show.
Croydon's a great venue because it's so big and it's the biggest house we ever play to. And also the most knickers I've ever been thrown.
You can hear highlights of an audience with Nick Ferrari right now. Log on to lbc.co.uk where from as little as just £2 a month, there's a whole archive of uninterrupted shows and stuff you just won't hear on the radio.
lbc.co.uk.
Click podcast and listen again on your PC or download now to listen on the move.
If you've never invested in property, if you'd like to be a successful property investor but don't know where to start, if building a portfolio seems a bit confusing, then take the first step with InsideTrack.
Since joining InsideTrack, I've purchased 2 properties abroad and 1 in the UK.
My aim is to own 20 properties within 5 years. And I know this is possible with the help of InsideTrack.
Take the first step by attending InsideTrack's free introductory workshop. If you want to profit from property, don't go round the houses. Take the inside track. Call 0870 1244 610 or log on to insidetrack.co.uk.
London's LBC 97.3.
Steve Allen.
Special guest this week is Jeff Wayne, the man whose War of the World has become the biggest selling album ever. Millions and millions and millions and millions of copies. And now you get the tour as well. And some of the dates have been finalised. The internet is buzzing with our tickets on sale, who's going to be in it. And they've been very guarded as to who's going in. A few names have been released. I'm only going to say one. I'm not even sure I want to do one name, actually. Not sure if that. But it is. It's on the internet. So it has been announced that Russell Watson is going to be in the show.
Yeah, Russell is going to play Parson Nathaniel, the parson that goes bonkers. Although you would think that in with a man of the cloth, that the people who follow him would find moral and spiritual comfort.
Right.
But he thinks the Martians are the devil, and he goes mad before anybody else. And it's a duet between he and Tara Blaze, I should say, who's going to play his wife, Beth. It's a duet between him going mad and her trying to be the voice of reason and say, you know, come back, Nathaniel. There's something to live for here, and it's not as bad as you think.
You have cult following with this. With this piece of music, and it has been cult for a long time. It was amazing how it went from being sort of all of a sudden people were talking about War of the Worlds. Did you have a copy? Everybody's got a copy of War of the Worlds. Somewhere in their album collection, their CD collection, there is a copy of this album. And now people are going to be getting it out again and wondering how it's going to transfer to stage.
Well, it's hopefully going to be a very satisfying evening for the people that come.
Yeah. It's actually. Is it being done in concert form or?
No, it goes way beyond concert form. One of the nice little technical achievements is that we're bringing Richard Burton back to life as a three-dimensional head.
Good God. Now wait a minute, all this has been done before in time.
Well, indeed it has. And in fact, I'll give you a little story about that. At the time was produced.
Yeah.
My dad and I actually had the exclusive rights to that technology for live performance, and Richard was going to be created into this three-dimensional head on a tour, although technologically would have been different, but this was the one thing that we had all some 22 years ago, approximately.
So you've got the recording of Richard, who is then going to be hologrammed?
Yeah, well, it's not a hologram. It's the same technology that was used in the musical Time, which was Laurence Olivier.
Right.
And the difference, though, is that Laurence Olivier was alive at the time, and Richard passed away soon after. We took him, in fact, to the company that produced these three-dimensional heads. And that's how Olivier was allowed to do the Time performance, because we released the rights back to the company that we had acquired them from.
You clever boy.
Well, it was unique at the time, yes. So to speak. And the way that the heads are produced is, if you were a living person, you would go and be filmed with clamps on your head, so you cannot move your head up and down or left and right.
Right.
But you can do anything else with your face, your nose, your eyes, whatever. And you're filmed doing whatever the performance is. Then, after that's completed, your head is sculptured. The marriage is between the film performance and the projection onto the head.
So, in other words, there would be a sculpture of my head with the eyes and all the rest of it, but the film projected onto it would add the movements.
That's correct. And it, in fact, the whole head is sculptured, so you get ears and the side of the head as well, the side of the face, I guess. And when it works, it really is believable, because it's not holographic, it's a true head that looks totally believable.
Now, I remember seeing this, and I remember seeing it at an Ideal Home show.
Could be. It's been around. The
it
technology
has been around.
Has been around an awful long time.
And it was a guy standing there on a stool, so it was the mannequin and the face, and all of a sudden the eyes opened, and he went, hi.
That's right.
And people stood there watching it, thinking, what is it? Is it a mannequin? Is it a projection? How can it look at me?
Yeah.
And again, as you say, it was somebody filmed doing the words, and then the piece of their face taken and put on the body and projected onto.
Yeah, indeed.
Complicated to explain this, isn't
it? I first saw it, in fact, when I was in high school and college in California at Disneyland in the Haunted House. And there were these real miniature bodies with these talking heads. And I was always blown away by looking at them and saying, that's totally real. How is, you know, how do you do that?
Clever stuff.
Yeah.
All right, more on that in a moment. Now, it's such a good selection of music this week. It really is. On to the Rolling Stones, those nice middle-class boys.
Yeah.
Why did you pick them?
Well, I picked the Rolling Stones in Satisfaction because it took me back to my California days, high school and college, around 1965, and I was playing keyboards with my first bands when I heard the record on the radio for the first time, and I was absolutely bowled over by the sheer animal qualities it contained. It was R&B influenced, containing a killer guitar riff made distinctive with a fuzzbox guitar, which for the time was totally original. Satisfaction gets you moving from the very first notes, and its raw vocals bind it together superbly. So for me, it had all the ingredients of types of songs that I love. I think they also captured the spirit of the times. It was, in fact, and I didn't know this until recently, this was their first number one in the United States and many other countries. They had several other hit records, but not ever getting to number one. This was their first number one. And I think it began their ascent to becoming perhaps one of the greatest live rock and roll bands ever. And that record, coming back to that guitar riff and the fuzzbox sound, always influenced me, as any record does that has sort of a sound about it. And I think from a composing, producing point of view, if you can put an original sound into a record, it helps your composition or your artist. And it was great fun always to find, you know, sort of a new sound. And, I guess give me Satisfaction.
I tried, and I tried, and I tried.
I don't care how many times I hear the Rolling Stones or any songs from that particular era. I think they sound as good today as they did first time they came out. I want to leap you on a bit, Jeff, because I want to squeeze in one more track before we have to take a quick break. And it's Dave Brubeck and Take Five. I think a quintessential song from that era.
Yes, it was. And I think Dave Brubeck and his group, they sort of broke through playing melodies that really sounded like melodies from from the jazz world, but they combined rhythmic time signatures that were fairly complex, whether it was 5-4, 7-4, even 13-4.
Do I look like I understand what you're talking about? What is this time rhythm? What's that?
Well, I mean, think of 4-4. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Listen, now, you're a musician. I'm a radio presenter. I've got the faintest idea. What you got 4-4-1. What's that?
Well, that's a pretty common time signature. And as a jazz musician and composer in his own right, he took melodies and really made them a little more complex with these complex time signatures.
Not I think you better listen to it, ladies. then you can work out whether it's 4-4-13-4-1-4, whatever else it could be. Show, isn't it? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, dip. Just imagine Miss Piggy dancing to that one. Dave Brubeck and Take Five. Still to come, there's such a good piece of music that Jeff has picked. You're going to go, I want that piece of music. Because every time people hear it, we always get people writing in going, well, what's that piece of music? So I'm going to do it very slowly for you, but that'll probably be in the next part of this week's That Reminds Me with Jeff Wayne, our special musical guest this week. That's all after the latest news.
Hi, my name is Gemma and I'm 35 years old. A year ago, I was diagnosed with breast cancer. I felt so powerless. But while receiving treatment, I learned about the Aviva Weekend to Breakthrough Breast Cancer. It's a historic 2-day, 60-kilometer walk through London to fight breast cancer. The weekend is a different kind of event for people who want to do something bold about breast cancer. Join me on this year's journey by calling 0870 950 8888 or going to breakthroughweekend.org. This event is for everyone and everything's provided. Warm meals and hot showers on the event, even coaches to help you train and fundraise. We'll make a huge difference by helping Breakthrough Breast Cancer support education and critical research for a cure. Thanks to the love and support of my family and the hope that the weekend gives me, I'm here today. If I can do this, so can you. Register now at 0870 950 8888 or go to breakthroughweekend.org. That's 0870 950 8888 or breakthroughweekend.org.
Available on DAB Digital Radio.
London's LBC 97.3.
It's 2:30. I'm Claire McDonnell. Let's start off with this Joel Charles Menezes story that we've just been hearing. 6 months on from his shooting, a public vigil is being held for Jean Charles. His family, friends and supporters have gathered at Stockwell Tube Station, where the 27-year-old was shot by police. They thought he was a suicide bomber. A major fire at a bus depot in West London is now under control. 14 double-decker buses were on fire at the first depot in Great Western Road in Westbourne Grove. Some still are. There have been several explosions. The nearby A40 was closed, but has now reopened. An autopsy is being carried out on the whale that was stranded in the Thames for 2 days. Vets are hoping to find out why the 15-foot mammal died. It was being taken to deeper water on a barge when the end came. And the Liberal Democrats are in disarray after their Home Affairs spokesman quit over a sex scandal. Mark Oton, who's married with two children, has apologised over newspaper claims of an affair with a 23-year-old man. It's the latest scandal to hit the party after Charles Kennedy stood down over a drink problem earlier this month. London's weather now, it should say dry this afternoon with some bright spells, highs of 7 degrees Celsius. It's currently 6 degrees Celsius in Richmond. LBC News, it's 2:31.
London's LBC 97.3. Steve Allen.
Special guest this week. It's always a pleasure to talk to a man who's... you've always got to do something, I think, in your life that marks you down with the public for eternity. It doesn't matter whatever else Jeff Wayne does, he will forever be known for War of the Worlds. And let's face it, it's not a bad thing to be associated with. But apart from that, he's been very heavily involved with theatre, very heavily involved with TV themes. People come to you and go, can you do this? And you go, do anything I like. And do you have a bottom drawer? Andrew Lloyd Webber has a bottom drawer of songs that he can dig out. And in a lot of his musicals over the years, there have been songs that should have been in one musical, but he's moved them into another one.
Yeah, I've heard that, not just about him, but others. But no, I'm not. I don't have a little trunk. I have a lot of rejected music that fills a trunk, but not to prepare for advance sort of commissions or ideas for my own projects. So now I just sort of am a little more spontaneous about it all.
I would love to think that somewhere out there that there's sort of an album, because having worked so closely with David Essex and those three very successful albums and the singles, I almost feel you need to find another David Essex.
Well, not sure about wanting to replicate what you've done before, you know, so to speak. I like the idea of always moving on and doing something as opposite from the previous project or artist that I've worked with. So David was great to work with, and it's a real special memory of the years that we worked together in the studio and live, so I'm quite content with that one. If somebody came along and was in that sort of genre,
who would you like to work with? Do you have names that you think, oh, I wish I'd worked with that person? I'd love to have a go at working with them.
Through the years, there's been a range of artists that, given the opportunity, I would have liked to. I got close to working with Peter Gabriel on his debut solo album and had lunch with him and his manager. And I was on tour with David, funnily enough, going to the States. And I was given these songs on a tape cassette. And I listened to them, and I thought, God, these are brilliant. And he's got a fantastic voice, and I was a fan of Genesis anyway. And as artists rightfully do, they have their own sort of schedule as to when they're going to do something. And I was in America away, so it didn't come off. But on the tape was some of his first hits as a solo artist, and I knew they were great. And so that's, you know, in a way, I always think back when you're asked, what's your favorite songs, what's your favorite artist? I always think back to my junior high school prom, Steve. And
it's an American thing.
Yes, I'm afraid it is. But I always remember my mom going out and buying two shirts for me to consider to go to the prom with. And I think one was blue, the other was black. And after much thought, I chose the black one. She comes out and sees me and says, "That's nice, but don't you like the blue one?"
No, I like the black one.
You see, they were both nice, you know, but you have to choose one. So.
You get to choose 8 recordings. Your next one is Joaquin Rodrigo, the guitar concerto. Why did you pick this?
Well, for me, it's one of the most haunting pieces of music I've ever heard. And I heard it as a little boy. I've seen it performed live. It's been reinterpreted by people like Miles Davis on an album of his about 40 years ago. And I've heard it more recently in the club world. Mm. It's just haunting. It's moving. It captures you no matter what mood you're in. And it was launched in Barcelona in 1940 by the Barcelona Philharmonic Orchestra. And for me, I have a very strong memory of 1999 in Barcelona. I was playing tennis representing Great Britain, and I came out of a match that I had lost in a very close long, like 3.5 hour match, and then went to a very small club in the evening, and it couldn't have held more than 50, 60 people. And there was the solo guitarist playing Rodrigo's guitar concerto. And I think, unfortunately for me, the loss of the day made me want to top myself because it just set me back in the mood of the beauty of this music.
Don't in any way think this is suicide music. It's actually quite pleasant.
Absolutely.
I promise you. It's nice. Piece of music, and you're probably the same at home. You conjure up an image of something. I don't imagine anything apart from ducks going across water. I don't know why. It probably conjures up different things. You're sitting in a club wanting to top yourself. Very strange image. I shall have to change mine. The Four Seasons. Now, I was a big fan of Frankie Valli, and you mentioned the high school prom, and they featured, of course, in Greece, and yeah. You know, it was. I thought the Four Seasons were great.
Indeed, I love their records. They were the first and possibly most successful white doo-wop vocal groups,
yes.
Perhaps of all time. And again, I was in high school and college in the period of the 60s when the Four Seasons really broke big with songs like Sherry and Walk Like a Man. And I just loved the whole construction of their records. The Frankie Valli vocals, you know,
yes.
He had a 3-octave range, which is, you know, quite impressive.
Pretty good.
And, you know, had a sound in his voice when he went up into falsetto. And I think, if you think of perhaps Barry Gibb and the Bee Gees when they went into their Night Fever era, perhaps there was, whether it was some conscious or not, an influence from Frankie Valli and his vocals and other groups like that. And I just love the perfection of their pop records. And their songs were mostly written by their keyboardist, Bob Gaudio, who, by the way, also penned Elvis's Don't Be Cruel. Their producer, Bob Crew, just put a sound together, coming back to sound, you know, that just made them distinctive. And in one of my early bands, we used to play a couple of the Four Seasons recordings. And the one that I've chosen tonight, Big Girls Don't Cry, it was always guaranteed to keep everyone happy on the dance floor.
Shame on you, your mama said. Shame on you, you cried in bed.
Well, I'm laughing, actually. There's nothing funny about the Four Seasons and Frankie Valli. Big Girl Don't Cry. They also had, Jeff Wayne, a foray into the disco world. And it was called The Night. And it years ago, and that was their sort of foray into high energy. So they literally crossed over all the different eras and
absolutely
all the different types of music.
Yeah.
Fantastic group. I'm tempted to squeeze in one more track before we go, but it's such a good piece of music. And I don't know why you've chosen it, so I shall ask you. Adiamus. That'd be one of them. Why did you pick it? Apart from that, it's brilliant.
Well, I think that's the starting point. For me, Steve, it's an album that I've listened to regularly, particularly when I'm on holiday or have some spare time. It's a whole album that you can relax into and just sink into it.
Yeah.
So that's the starting point. It just reaches me as a member of the public. Who
you watch. Everybody listening now, there'll be people, we will get emails and text messages. Please tell me where I can get hold of this track. Please tell me where I can get hold of this track. Because people always try and think they know where they heard it. Jeff Wayne picked it. That's all you have to know. That's all you have to know. So let's have a listen, and then after you'll be going, oh, that's the music. That's what it's called. Story that goes with, I've forgotten it again, Adiamus. And in fact, people think they know the language, but...
Well, I thought I did too. I thought it was Latin. Then I discovered some years later that Carl Jenkins, who's the composer and mastermind behind the whole album, created not lyrics, but words that were sort of phonetically created to go with his melodies. And I thought, gosh, that's so imaginative, just adds to the whole feel of the album and this particular piece from it. And then, very recently, Carl Jenkins discovered that the actual title, Adiamus, is actually Latin, and it means we will draw near. But he didn't know it at the time. But everything else is just phonetics, and it's part of the whole magic of this album.
Well, if we haven't sold another few hundred copies of the album after that little plug for it, there's no justice. Small break, and then back with the final part of this week. That reminds me, with our special guest, Jeff Wayne, and we'll tell you more about War of the Worlds and the tour as well, and his LBC association. All of that after the latest travel.
This is Karen Mercer in the LBC 97.3 Travel Centre. It's really heavy in the Fulham area because of the football at Stamford Bridge. The traffic doesn't seem to have calmed down there yet. And you've got restrictions on Fulham Road at Parsons Green Lane due to a gas leak. There's no left turn into Fulham Road from Parsons Green and no right turn from Fulham Road into Kelvedon Road. It's causing some slow moving traffic around the Fulham Broadway. Earls Court Road is down to one lane southbound at Old Brompton Road, where they're doing gas works and resurfacing works on Clerkenwell Road around Turnmill Street in the city, causing tailbacks in both directions. In Epsom, Old London Road still closed in both directions for investigation works after yesterday's incident. Call me on the jam line, please, with your updates 08000 68 60 80. On the tubes, delays continue on the District and Hammersmith and City lines and also clockwise on the Circle line. Engineering works are also affecting the Piccadilly District and Northern line services. We've got the full details on all the engineering works for the tubes and the trains on our website, lbc.co.uk. Just click on the link, Weekend Travel Changes. LBC 97.3 Travel, your next update in 30 minutes.
What would you say to a brilliant argument?
Or an alternative point of view?
What would you say is the way forward? Or the way out? What would you say is inspiring?
Or a recipe for disaster?
What would you say matters?
Or needs airing? What would you say?
London's LBC 97.3. Real life, real London. Don't just listen.
Every one of us is different, unique and special in our own particular way. And it's exactly those differences that help people like Guy's Drug Research Unit discover essential information for the advancement and development of medicines which could improve all our lives. Which is why right now at Guy's Drug Research Unit, we're looking for postmenopausal or surgically sterile women to take part in our clinical trials. So if you are a non-smoker aged between 18 and 58 and in good health, you could be the person we need. For more information on how you could help, call us free on 020-7910-7777. All trials are approved by an independent NHS Research Ethics Committee and you will be reimbursed for the time that you spend with us. You will also receive a comprehensive medical checkup. So please call us now on 020-7910-7777. Guy's Drug Research Unit is independent of the Guy's and St Thomas NHS Foundation Trust.
London's LBC 97.3.
Steve Allen.
Special guest this week is the man whose association with LBC is legendary in radio terms. It's only because every time you mention his name around LBC, there's one or two people go into a sort of damp seat situation. And they go, Jeff Wayne. Because you, of course, did the LBC jingle, didn't you?
The very original ones. Launch when LBC was sort of an all-round the clock news station.
Yeah.
It was a real breakthrough station at the time. And I was commissioned to compose all of its themes and the little stings that inevitably, you know, you need to go in and out of news and other commercials, I guess. And it survived pretty much all the years. We re-recorded it,
yes.
Rearranged it in many different ways.
It came back so many times.
Couldn't kill it off. But when Chrysalis came in and took over LBC and started all again with a whole new format. And I think the new themes and compositions work great.
Yeah.
It's a great accomplishment.
Well, I just to remind people, because I know people collect early LBC, there are people out there who will have the whole jingle package from LBC that they've collected over the years. They've recorded bits. So here's just a little bit just to remind you of what Jeff came up with. Well, there we go. A little piece of LBC memorabilia. It's funny that what was your brief when they asked you to write it? Because nothing like this had been done before, had it?
I don't think so.
Yeah.
Certainly, it was one of the earliest approaches of composing music to a briefing of the kind. And my memory of it was the newsiness, the urgency at times that news brings, and LBC. I picked up on three letters, so the main theme is really built around three notes. For LBC, and no matter how we rearranged it through the years, that little hook was always there in one form or another.
Clever, isn't it? Even after all this time, as I say, still talked about in hallowed terms.
Well, yeah. That's lovely to hear. Thank you.
Even our current, we call him our current commercial production manager. He keeps him on his toes. He thinks he's here forever. We'll all be suffering. So he sort of, you know, pops around. He of course, has worked with you over the years.
Chris yes. Lowry, indeed. He's bossed
he
me around.
I'm really not keen on name checks and other people. It's the Steve Allen Show, and we'll keep it that way. Not the Steve Allen Show with a bit of help from Chris Lowry. Yes, I mean, I think he's actually mellowed over the years. Got butcher, some people say. Yes, I know. We laugh too. Anyway. Bless his heart. If only he was here now to enjoy this show, ladies and gentlemen. And on to, we all speak about him in past terms. I don't know why. Ray Charles. Now, here's another one. You see, we started with Nat King Cole. Ray Charles, another great voice.
Yeah, and in his own way, different from Nat King Cole, but the magic of great singers, I think, is that they take songs, whether they write them or interpret them of because they've been authored by others, they just turn them into their own thing. But Ray Charles was one of the most innovative singers, songwriters, and pianists, so he combined them all. And no matter what songs you heard of his, you know, Georgia, On My Mind, Hit the Road, Jack, they couldn't be as more opposite as you can imagine, but he just made them their own, his own, I should say. Mm. And I loved everything about him. His nickname was The Genius, and I think it's a deserved title in musical terms. His private life was rather diverse, but as a young musician, he certainly influenced me tremendously.
Version of Ray Charles. I'd love to have seen him live. To have seen him live.
He was great. And I think, you know, any performer, no matter which style of music you perform, until you do it live, I don't think you're considered complete.
No.
And I think he was totally complete.
You see, nowadays, and I've become so terribly cynical over the years with the state of the music industry, because you don't need to, A, be able to sing, and B, be able to perform live, because in 9 out of 10 artist cases, they never perform live. They go onto a television show, they mime. Mm. They go onto concerts, they mime. Difficult to believe, but I know a lot of bands who go out there where only one mic will be live. The rest of the people will be standing there miming to a backing track.
Yeah, I think that's a fair comment. I guess I'm of the age where I was trained to compose, you know, orchestrate, produce, and work with artists at the early part of my career, and still do.
Yes.
That really can go out and do it live.
What would you ever do if you discovered an artist who came to you and said, well, actually, very nice here, but you I can't sing?
I'd pass. It wouldn't even be a starter.
Amazing, isn't it? I think that's a demonstration nowadays. The people who make a lot of money in this business, you know, are the people who are just into a quick buck, you know, you look right, you look pretty, but I can't sing. Doesn't matter. Just stand up there, you know, and do your bit, and we'll do the rest.
Well, I think there's a sort of a slot, if you look at it as a big pie, which has many different pieces to it. There's a piece within the entertainment world that has always accepted the sort of more rounded, in quotes, singer, performer who looks good, can move great.
Mm.
But I think the longevity of careers of people like that is rather short. And the people that are around for a whole career is because they can deliver, you know, on many different levels.
Yes. Hence, the Rolling Stones, still around.
Indeed.
Still touring. And yet, 99% of the artists who've been in the charts over the past 5 years, you won't ever hear of again. Because they can't deliver on stage.
Yeah, I think that's part of the reason why there's always been a sort of a quick turnaround in this certain segment of music.
Well, long may people like you continue. It all goes back to your dad, though, and that's where we finish. With the original cast recording of Guys and Dolls, which, of course, is in the West End at the moment.
Yes, indeed. My dad was the original romantic gambler, Skye Masterson, in the 1953 production at the London Coliseum. I couldn't resist adding it to my list, Stephen. Thanks for allowing me to, because I know I'm his son, but I've watched and seen probably all the productions of Guys and Dolls, and I remain of the view that I've never heard any other performer act and sing the role of Skye Masterson as good as my dad.
Yeah.
So he was an entertainer in the 40s, by the way, and he had a good recording career. 3 number one records in America, came through the big band era and the latter ends of vaudeville. He did all the media. He was a great live entertainer, and so when he came to do Guys and Dolls, and seeing and remembering all of his recordings from it, I couldn't resist coming in with Luck Be a Lady.
They call you Lady Luck, but there is room for doubt. At times you have a very unladylike way of running out. You're on a date with me, the pickings have been lush. And yet before the evening is over, you might give me the brush. You might forget your manners, you might refuse to stay. And so the best that I can do is pray. Luck be a lady tonight. Luck be a lady tonight. Luck, if you've ever been a lady to begin with, luck be a lady tonight. Luck, let a gentleman see how nice a dame you can be. I know the way you've treated other guys you've been with. Luck, be a lady with me. A lady wouldn't leave her escort. It isn't fair, it isn't nice. A lady wouldn't wander all over the room and blow on some other guy's dice. So let's keep the party polite. Never get out of my sight. Stick with me, baby, I'm the fella you came in with. Luck be a lady. Luck be a lady. Luck be a lady tonight.
I'm not going to argue with our special guest this week, Jeff Wade. His dad had a great voice. Great voice.
Really was. From the original 1953 cast recording of Guys and Dolls at the London Coliseum, Jerry Wayne's Luck Be a Lady. Is it still available? You could probably get it.
I don't think so, in fact, Steve. I don't even remember what label it came out on, in truth.
I don't know, actually. I'm sure we could find somebody you watch will text an email and say, I've just found a copy on eBay.
I'd love to hear from that person.
Yes, we would like to hear from you too. Listen, it's been fantastic. I wish you so much luck with the tour of War of the Worlds. It's gonna really go well, isn't it, this one?
Well, it's pretty much all sold out, all 14 dates around Great Britain, and we're doing...
And when does it... It doesn't start yet, does it?
No, not till April, but we've been working 24/7 on it since sort of late August.
Right. Are you backing this financially, or...?
No, it's a traditional arrangement where a promoter offers you an amount of money, and you try to not go over that amount, but still give a good show.
Yeah. I think he's being coy on that one. Anyway, is that how it works normally?
Yeah, sure.
Right. So you've got all the dates set. It's nearly sold out. There is a website, incidentally, that you need to go to, which is War of the Worlds. Is it The War of the Worlds?
TheWarOfTheWorlds.com.
.com. Yeah. And there's all the details on there of the tour. All the dates are on there, and all the information that you'll ever need about Jeff Wayne and his very talented family, and also the Definitive Collector's Edition, which is out as well. There's the remix of it.
That's right. It's 6 CDs and a 92-minute DVD housed in an 80-page book the size of a black vinyl disc. and it's got everything.
It's your own little pension fund, isn't it?
Well, it's a good sort of reflection back on everything and everyone that I worked with. It brought back a lot of memories, revisiting it all these years later.
Absolutely. Well, I hope that many of you listening will go out and join the tour, and few names we've mentioned on the program. Check out the website, though, for further details. Jeff, thank you very much indeed for being with us.
It's been my pleasure, Steve. Thanks for inviting me on.
You're very welcome. It's lovely to hear somebody else's choice of music. We'll do it again next week when another celebrity bares their soul and gives us their choice of music on That Reminds Me. Until then, from all of us on the program to all the production team, thank you for joining us, and we'll see you next week.
London, it's already slow and expensive enough, but at least your crucial information, crucial photos, crucial music, and crucial memories can get around faster at crucialmemory.com. We make powerful flashcards and USB flash drives for your computer, camera, music player, PDA, GPS, and new generation mobile at crucialmemory.com. With free delivery, 30-day money-back guarantee, and award-winning customer service, it's easy to see why millions of customers click crucialmemory.com.
Available on DAB Digital Radio.
London's LBC 97.3.
It's 3 o'clock. I'm Claire McDonnell. Friends of Jean-Charles de Menezes are calling for a quick decision on whether to prosecute the officers involved in his shooting. A vigil is being held at Stockwell Tube Station this afternoon, where the 27-year-old was shot by anti-terror officers exactly 6 months ago. They thought he was a suicide bomber. His cousin, Alex Pereira, used the platform for a direct attack on Met Commissioner Sir Ian Blair.
What type of chief doesn't know what's going on around him?